Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The password is kumquat. We saw open marriage, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Can't you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I'm your host, Paul Scheer, a.k.a. Tall John, and today we are talking about another Lifetime original film. This one is called Open Marriage, and it is about a couple who decides to have an open marriage, and then the dire consequences that come with it. There are murders, guns, pregnancies, and sex clubs, so much to get into. Here to break it all down are my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Wow. This was a watch. This really explored open marriage, I thought, very fairly, very thoughtfully.
What I
well,
liked about
this. Well, you know, Jason, when a couple, when a woman is struggling with fertility, you know, as so many women do, the first step is always open marriage.
Yep.
You know, that's a very honestly tired narrative.
That's, yes.
We just see it over and over.
Well, you know,
over again.
This is maybe the most I've ever stopped a movie while watching to make sure I was watching the right movie. I was certain multiple times I must be watching a different open marriage.
I not only stopped the movie twice because I was like, oh no, this can't be it. Because this is, and I know we've done a lot of movies that, you know, revolve around sexual activity and complicated sexual activity. We've talked about fuck pillows here on the show, but
Fuck pillows.
Yeah, I say it the same.
I know. Don't worry about it. Don't worry
about
it.
But this is the closest to porn that we've ever gotten to in a way without nudity. Like, it is basic cable porn, right?
It felt like a Skinamax type movie, but you're saying your intro is the first thing that clued me into that it was a Lifetime movie. And now
I was surprised to hear that it was a Lifetime
movie.
It seemed actually, though, too sexy and not enough of a thriller or a romance to be a Lifetime film.
Oh, see,
in terms of my standards for Lifetime.
Oh, that's interesting, because I feel like, oh, because it's a Lifetime film, that's why it didn't go further. Because I felt like it was like a porno, or it felt like they were shooting a porno and then were like, okay, we're going to do one take where everybody does nothing at the end, where the sex scene doesn't happen. You know,
right.
Like,
oh, right.
Right.
Well, there is this
idea. I mean, there's so much going on here. I mean,
but while simultaneously having nothing going on.
Nothing. I mean, nothing.
There are six people in this movie.
And by the way, four main characters. Yeah, three sets. One which, do you recognize one of the sets from this film?
Wait. Okay, I did. Is their loft the same loft as, you know, I'm not going to remember the movie we did, but there's another
Deadly
movie.
Photographer? Yes. Deadly Photographer?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Is it the same loft?
Down to the lava lamps in the window.
What?
It is the same exact loft.
Wow.
The Lifetime location manager, hard at work, knocking down another solid.
They must just own these buildings.
You know what I thought was weird, though? Like, why not choose a different exterior for that loft? Like, that loft could be anywhere.
Yes.
And that exterior was like a strange
It looks
spot
like a
and storefront.
It looks
almost
like an abandoned like store where you used to buy lights, like a light fixture. Like,
yeah.
It's a
It did not
weird
look residential at all.
No.
And I know that's the point in some ways, but it just seemed very
That's
wrong.
Not where people live. People don't live
no,
on
people,
a ground floor
no.
entrance loft like that
you
is.
You couldn't get plumbing and the, it's just not zoned for that.
It's like a building without windows. And like, that's the other thing too. Like, isn't a loft, like part of it is there are windows like that? They look like an Adobe front. Like, there was no front window
there was,
to it.
Yes, there was no light coming in except for on the second floor. That's where, like, what would be the second floor? That's where all the windows were.
And what does
but
this
I do
man
think that's
do?
Pretty standard for Lifetime lofts, though, is that there's never any windows so they can shoot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, morning, noon, and night. They're shooting
when he
constantly.
Walked outside. He walked outside at one point, and it was jarring. I forget what I thought it was. I mean, this movie does shoot from night to day. Like, when they meet that couple by the pool, their very rich friend, they're like, oh, we got to go. It's
oh my
getting
God.
Late.
Wait, we got to talk about we got to talk about the introduction of this movie is basically the same as the season two of White Lotus characters. This foursome is the same setup as Megan, Faye, Theo, James, I'm forgetting the other actor's name, and Aubrey Plaza. The four of them. One couple is rich. The guys are friends from college. There's a sexual frisson between them. Like, there is.
Are you accusing Mike White?
No. Down to the fact.
Ripping off.
Down to the fact that the rich couple says to the other couple, "We never fight." That is episode one of White Lotus. They have the same, it's the same conversation.
Let's listen to it.
So being rich gives you guys better sex too? Come on, guys.
What's with you two today?
Well, actually, that's the point. You see, it's not just us two.
What's not just us two?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Mindy and I have been on an extraordinary adventure. We've opened our marriage.
It's a whole new glorious world.
Wait, so you guys are having sex with other people?
Yes.
Isn't that dangerous? Like playing with fire?
It is, but playing with fire is what makes it so hot.
Until you get burned.
I mean, that opening and the way that they talk to each other, I'm creeped out by this couple. Immediately. They seem like they are best of friends, but yet they've just met.
Best of friends, and that's worst of enemies.
Wait, have they just met? Because I thought they all went to college together.
Yes, they all went to college together. Yes.
They act like...
Oh, they seem like they just met.
Yeah, they seem like so static, and they seem so
Well, there's
like,
no there's
formal.
No ease to them. There's no comfort. There's no they don't seem to have a lived in relationship. Mostly
but isn't that the point? That's because they're like new again. You know, they've got that new sort of chemistry and texture to the
they
relationship.
Have that new money.
Well, and also
from
because
a big
Mindy,
sale on Rodeo.
Yeah, and Mindy's a blonde now because blondes have more fun.
I wanted to straighten out her hair. I was so happy when it was straightened at the end.
Paul!
I just felt like something was off. Like, I like a curl. I like a frizz. I like, but it felt like
that wasn't, I felt like that was not her natural way of looking, and she put that on, and I was relieved at the end when it was revealed that she actually had straight hair. I was
see,
like, yes.
I don't know if you're right about it. I never knew you to be so anti-curl, first of all.
This is
upsetting, and because my hair is naturally curly and I never wear curly.
Yeah. No, it's not like that.
June, you've said in the past, you've said in the past that you like a bigger boy. Paul is here to say no curls.
It's really... I'm really surprised, Paul. I think that is her natural
hair. I agree.
And in fact, when I saw her with straight hair, I was like, something's amiss.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I felt like everything worked. The actress is
naturally curly.
Yes, producer Molly exactly. Chiming in. Okay, well,
but it also allowed us to, it allowed us insight when later in the movie, she becomes the straight haired lady in white.
Ooh. She's doing a lot of work.
I feel like that prop mask covered in feathers. They were like, no, more feathers. Put more feathers on it.
Just so you know, there is a there's a thriller aspect to this film.
Oh,
we
God.
Open up with a bloody alarm clock on the white carpet.
The kind of clock that's made that you get at like a flea market. It's made of like old pipes and screws.
I was like, it looked like the worst thing in an antique store. The thing in the antique store that doesn't
brand
move.
New. It's brand new. Assembled in a. It's like from a flea market. It's like it's crazy.
Well, the hair's going to come back into play because in that opening shot, we see a bloody. We see the bloody alarm clock, and then we also see a straight-haired blonde woman.
In a white, like,
in a white negligee fall to the ground.
Yes.
And here's the thing. It's a thriller. Who did this? Who is dead? There are four people, and two of them are women, and two of them are blonde. It's not...
Well, don't forget about Angelique.
Well, Angelique is not a blonde, and Angelique is barely in this movie. Angelique is one line or two lines above background.
There is.
And not that. And she's
well,
great.
Well, don't forget
she's
about
great.
The bouncer of Open for Business, Indiri or Indigo. What's her name?
Oh, my Ione. Gosh.
This poor woman has to both let everybody in and man the bar herself.
Volnavia.
Volnavia.
Volnavia. Who runs the sex club, which is called
Open for Business.
Which, by the way,
I love.
What is this place? Open for Business.
It's an underground club. Mindy found it.
There's this app called Caligula that shows all the nearest hotspots for open-minded people like us.
I wasn't expecting to do this with total strangers.
Yeah.
Stop worrying. You can just watch. No pressure.
Password.
I am Volnavia, and we only have three rules here. Number one, anything, and I mean anything, goes. Number two, if anything doesn't go, well, tonight's safe word is suspenders. And number three, have fun.
Okay, I loved this call over business. I loved every single password and safe word.
Yes.
Every time I heard them, I was like, wow. This writer is so careless in so many other ways, and the dialogue is so terrible, except for the passwords and safe words.
Yes.
From
suspenders?
Kumquat to suspenders to Romeo.
Yeah.
To there was another password.
There was
that
one that was really
remember.
Simple. It was like, I felt like it was like balloons. I was like, wait, what? Like, all of a sudden you didn't go sexual? I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'm going to need to spend the next roughly hour discussing the fact that there's an app.
Yeah, there's
It's like the Grindr.
Is the app just to tell you what today's password is? But it also it also outs people who are... What could make this sex club be shut down more than them just blasting out pictures from inside the sex club?
And why are you allowed to take out
that
your phone?
That the mayor gets? The mayor gets these photos?
Okay, obviously, by the way, the mayor is 1,000% like on that app. Because otherwise,
cool
I don't
marriage.
Know how What's-Her-Face would have gotten him those photos. So here's what I'm now thinking. Because in the beginning, we find this couple and they have are just recently rich people. So they've just like come into a lot of money because he sold a property on Rodeo Drive.
The less specific, now, the better. Property on Rodeo Drive.
That's enough for me. But I'm now thinking like Mindy has probably made a lot of money creating the tech for that app and also having some sort of a stake in the Club Caliglia.
Wait, you think that Mindy is somehow the owner or co-owner or ghost owner of Club Caligula and that she...
And more importantly, the app.
Right, because she is sending out the texts.
Yes.
Is she sending
them? She seems to have control over the technology.
Oh, wow. Okay. Whoa. So, and she is actually the lady in white who is being worshipped at the club constantly. So is
it her
club? Because
that house didn't make sense. I think it's her club. I think it's her app.
And
I think
it's... Is this all a grand scheme?
And she's making a killing.
Is this all a grand scheme just to get... To be, because this is also like this movie is, you're right. This movie wants to be an erotic thriller a la Fatal Attraction or Basic Instinct or something. And there's a little bit of single white female to it as well. So is
very
whole,
little at the end
is
jammed
her whole
in there
plan just to do this whole all these machinations just so that she can have Becca's life or
well,
because
no,
she's
because,
in love with Becca.
Well, wait, hold on. But then you would also have to say
what's her
that
goal. I guess.
Her goal would be like. If what you're saying is true, June, because what you're saying is things that happened that are true, but for this plan to have worked, she must have been like, I want an open relationship so much. What I'm going to first do is make the club in the app. Then I'm going to bring it and introduce it to my husband years after we've been together. So she's doing that on the side, gets her husband on board, and then pretends to be like, oh my gosh, I found this app. But the truth is, she doesn't even really want to go to that club because she's already got her mind on the person that she wants anyway.
Well, I never know why they really needed to go to the club except for her to get...
I was just
going to
say...
Except for her to get collateral on Becca.
They felt like the club was there to only to damage them. They'd already opened up their marriages to each other. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, having never been to a sex club, do you frequently go to a sex club, find a room to have sex in, and then fall asleep at the sex club?
Okay,
wait,
so
is that how it works? Do you when you go and you fuck on a couch at a sex club, do you then go to bed?
Listen, I believed, I was like, oh, wow, this is so, what a perfect detail that this guy fucks and immediately falls asleep.
Oh,
like that
to
me lined up.
They all do. All four of them.
But then I realized they are all asleep.
All four of
them. Which made me think Lavinia maybe drugged them.
I mean,
well, look,
what?
She's serving pretty strong Sex on the Beach and Harvey Wallbanger. By the way, the best detail of the whole club was that they only serve like sexually,
yeah.
Like you can't have a gin and tonic. You have to have like a blowjob.
Also,
like, you know,
this is a sex club with a maximum of 7 other people and upwards of 10 mannequins wearing bondage gear.
There are multiple shots where
people in the background are a mixture of real people and mannequins,
which is one of my favorite episodes.
One of my favorite episodes of Scare Tactics,
which June and I think we've talked about on the show about
best
mannequins.
Best episode of television ever.
But I will also say, there was a part of me that thought that this sex club could also be a vampire club because Volnavia, when she brings them in, is acting like that opening scene in Blade. I was like, are they going to be... Are these vampires? Why is Volnavia looking
would have
both
been
ways?
Incredible. I agree. Yeah, that would have been incredible if there was... Here's the thing. If there was more to anything, this movie would have been good. What I kept on misunderstanding was, what is this movie about? And at the end of the day, the answer is nothing. There is no story to this movie.
Events keep
happening.
The big story is, if you are an infertile man...
Oh, boy.
You need to loosen up, fuck your friend, and then your chances of getting your wife pregnant will go up. And
holy
that is
shit.
The moral. The moral is,
I think
like,
you're
on
right
some
in a way.
Level.
I
it's
think
like,
you're right. I think that his sperm was...
Responded to the competition?
Reticent.
Yeah.
Yes. His sperm was not, and I don't know the science to back this up, but I do think that's a story we were being told.
Yes.
That because they were sort of like having sex by rote just to reproduce... They had no fire in it. And I think on some level, his sperm was
bored?
Responding to
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
my favorite was when they cut to the backyard grill. The two dudes in this movie never wear a shirt.
Okay, Ron is more guilty than watching football at home without a shirt.
Ron is never in a shirt. shirted.
Okay,
but both
did
of
you
them,
see... Did you see, sorry to interrupt.
No,
Jason,
go
did
ahead.
Did you see Ron's tattoo?
How could
Who
you
did?
Miss it, June?
Okay, not the one, not that one. There's another tattoo. There's the big one, obviously, but then there's...
Oh, maybe not.
There's a line of there's a saying on his arm.
Did you, can you see what it says?
It simply says,
oh boy.
Out of line.
What? What?
Open for business, out of line.
Whoa.
Out of line.
Incredible.
I was like, that's definitely the actor's tattoo.
All of it is. Absolutely. Yes.
I was
fascinated by that.
Out of line.
Never wearing a shirt.
I wrote, put on a shirt, man.
No way. I was like, thank God. They're both topless. They're both shirts off at the grill. And it starts with them. It starts with a close up of the meat on the grill, comes up to them. The two dudes just standing there. And Ron goes, so my fertility test came back.
And it's like one of those bad like Viagra
ads. This is incredible.
Ads.
Yes. It feels like this whole movie is a series of infomercials.
Okay, so I had a really weird experience where Paul and I were watching Paul T. Goldman last night, which I loved so much. And I fell
Jason
asleep.
Wilder,
wild stuff.
Amazing.
Wild stuff. And I fell asleep while watching it. And then Paul had switched over to this movie. And so I was sort of in a fugue state where I couldn't tell the difference between the reenactments of the movie that Paul T. Goldman is shooting and this film.
I get
because
it.
Because there were a lot of like similarities where I was like,
the dialogue,
like it feels familiar. Yeah, it was very distressing.
I mean, there are some moments here where, you know, when they first decide to open their marriage to their friends, they go over in a room that is the most stark, uncomfortable, unsexy room to have a foursome. And by the way, they don't have a foursome. They
wife swap kind of.
They
or
wife
however,
this is the
partner
weird
swap.
Thing that yeah. I didn't really understand. Like, to me, the rules of their open marriage were we have to all be together, which I was like,
okay.
I mean, honestly, to everyone, you know, to each their own. But I'm like, that's a really specific experience. Like, I just didn't understand why it wasn't up for grabs that they could each have their own experience. Like, why? It's an extra kink on a kink. It's a hat on a hat to be like, we all have to be in there.
Well, that's part of it.
There's also a strange thing, which is like, those are Mindy and Max's rules, but Ron and Becca just adopt the exact same rules. There's no conversation about what are our rules going to be for this open marriage. It's just like, well, we're going to do Mindy and Max and that's that, you know?
Well, like, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say. It's like, not that, you know, these Mindy and Max would seem like two people you'd want to have sex with, but it's like, well, there are other people. If you decide you're going to have to have an open marriage, they're like, expand your imagination. Well,
they make it very clear. Multiple times they make it clear to be like, hey, when we go to this sex club, we're just there to watch. We're not going to get involved with anybody else. Now, everybody else in that club, or you see people in that club, two men are against one woman. But these guys, I mean, part of me is like, come on, let's get Ron and Max to kiss.
You want to eat two mama tambien this?
I did too.
At the end, I really thought that was going to be the thing.
For sure.
You know how I knew that would never happen? Is that nobody kissed in this movie until minute 22.
Say because of the shoulder tattoos.
This is the kind of movie that I would have found like on cable in high school and been like, oh shit, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to see some dirty stuff. And I would have been crestfallen that there not only wasn't dirty stuff, but it was boring. You know, the sex scenes were so much so that I wrote a number of times in my notes. Is it possible this is a Christian or a movie that is like secretly not like there is no sex, there is no nudity, there is no cursing. It's a very chaste movie for something that has such an erotic, theoretically storyline.
And can I also just add to that? This movie came out in 2017. There's a tone here that feels
very 90s.
Well, 90s, I was going to say like a little like anti-gay, like, or the
a
way.
Little.
I mean, yeah.
Dylan's basically like all homosexuals are in open marriages. Yeah.
And he also says in gay land. He says like in gay land,
and
we
then
all
dances
fuck
off,
each other.
Dances off to like a Lady Gaga concert. No, it was absolutely offensive.
And he's like, yeah, in gay land, everyone fucks each other except if you're ugly.
Well, here's what I'll
it's
say,
like,
though.
Wow, all right.
Here's
wow.
what I'll say to the movie's benefit. It's clear that he's in the best relationship in this movie.
Sure, but he
very true.
But he also seems
Dylan,
to be
if
like,
Dylan's husband is at
and
his
honestly,
work.
If I trust anyone to like raise a child, it's Dylan.
Oh,
and the husband who we never heard.
Okay,
speak.
Yes. No, when they cut to the husband, Dylan's husband, my jaw dropped. I was like, that's him?
Why
all
not?
Right.
Why make him such a slob kebab? Like, why? It
he
was
looked like
so
a biker.
Strange.
He looked like he was
you know
a
what?
Background
I'm not
going to
shame Dylan
movie.
For Dylan's taste. I think their relationship seemed wonderful. I believe in them.
I do too, actually, Jason. I do too.
While we're just talking about Dylan, just want to reference that Dylan is, the friend of our main character, Becca, and they work in a critical care unit. At one point, Ron calls her and says, hey, don't work too hard. And I thought to myself, she's working in a critical care unit in a hospital. Like, work hard.
Yeah.
Definitely work hard. Put some time in.
That's something you say to someone on like the factory line.
Yeah.
She just seems to be working in the reception.
And he's at home watching the game, eating Doritos out of a glass bowl.
Okay, you know what I did have? I did have the thought, though. I was like, you know, if you were about to embark on like a major like sexual escapade with a new partner and this and that, like the worst thing I would think for a man is to have your back go out. And I wish they had explored that more. Like what? Because his back seemed to really be recovering.
Oh, yeah. His workman's comp ran out. So he's already gone through all the months of workman's comp and is still recovering.
But I need to break this down too, because he seems to fluctuate between being an industrial development construction worker and a literal
construction worker, because his injury seems like, oh yeah, I got, my back is out from my construction work. But then he's making a bid to the mayor, which means like, okay, so you are on the line, but you also are in the trailer.
Well, that's like, very Marcus Lemonis of him.
Yeah, you know, if you want him, he's the boss, you know, and he's 100% in charge.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. Shirtless Ron is simultaneously just fixing cabinet doors in the loft while also putting in bids for city contracts that the mayor signs off on. It is.
That seems like a Cushman Wakefield, which is maybe an LA reference, but like that seems like a giant corporation would be like, yes,
no,
we got
he's
the
like a
permit
developer
to build Staples Center. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, he's a developer?
No. Well, that's what they're saying. He's basically saying,
who's
I got
putting
the job.
In bids?
You never have to work again in your life.
But that's why I think he's so dumb, because I think essentially, he got a job, you guys, to build a community center, which to me, I'm like, that's not a high rise. That's right. A one floor. Like, I see it as like a rec center type area, maybe a basketball court. Like, that's
indoor or outdoor, Jen?
I think it's both. I think it's like an indoor outdoor type of thing. But that's not, he's not building a bridge.
No,
he's building
but
a community center.
But the
with
the
city
the
money,
a bathroom. Yeah. But like,
it's not.
That's
you're right.
It.
I
a
agree.
Bathroom.
She
a
never
bathroom.
Has. Well, okay. Yeah, I think a bathroom. I think a woman's bathroom or two bathrooms at most.
I mean, they are
maybe
in the city of Los Angeles.
A little snack area. That's
there,
it.
I mean, the way that he's talking about it, and the way that he seems to really be like rolling up his sleeves with the mayor, so much so that the mayor, when the mayor gets the text that outs him as, I guess, I don't understand.
The mayor got that text. I think the mayor is also freaky as fuck.
Whatever. Okay. What town
is on the app?
Is this LA?
But yes, it is LA.
I think it's LA.
So you're telling me Ron is bidding Ron, who is unemployed on or not unemployed, but on workman's comp with a back injury, is making city bids on a level that this is absolute nonsense. This is I want the movie that's not about their open marriage, that's about their business prospects. I want to know, what is Max up to? What is he selling on Rodeo Drive? And what is Ron building?
So, like, by the way, like, what I would be, if I was Ron, I would be like, Max, please stop offering, like, your wife to fuck me. Like, I'd rather build your next project.
Yes.
And collaborate.
Again, White Lotus season two. White Lotus season two.
But
I'm not kidding. It's so weird.
But here's the thing. But we got to watch that, June. But here's the thing. The idea
when you
that,
watch it, your minds are going to explode at how much overlap there is. It's so funny.
Okay, wait, but now I just want to get to this detail. Like, the mayor fires him for going to a
sex club.
Underground sex club.
I mean, but is that illegal? Like, what? Why
would
you want?
Question two: are sex clubs illegal? Because the way that Vulvania is looking around, like you said, Paul, it's as though like the cops are coming. It's as though like they're going to get caught. But I'm like,
it's also, you know what? The email blast or text blast that gets sent out is only to the people in the group. It's not like it was reported in the media, like city contractor caught in sex scandal.
So wait, so you're saying, okay, so are we to understand
in
that
LA,
when they,
sex clubs are illegal?
Are illegal.
Or no, legal.
Yeah.
Legal.
Or mm-hmm. legal. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know. Here's
our announcement that we are opening one. A lot of people wonder why we don't have more merch. If you've gotten the Drop Dead Fred vinyl, hear it at our sex club.
When each of those four show up, is Vulvania like giving them a QR code to download the app? Like, are they giving, how did they get?
And is Vulvania the only employee, period? For real.
She's doing
she's taking her time.
I think Mindy's in cahoots with her.
Well, Mindy, who we reveal at the end that Mindy's the woman in the white peacock. Everyone in this club is fully out and about. But then there's one woman that's like in a Eyes Wide Shut feathery bird mask. And we don't know who that is. It's odd that she's the only one with the mask on. But also, she
there
seems to be the mask
guy. There are some background people wearing masks. Okay, there are some people in the background wearing masks. Some, yeah. And a number of the mannequins are also wearing masks, and I'm not kidding.
Okay, so when you say there are mannequins there, are we supposed to think they're people because they couldn't get extras, or
I
are they
believe,
just actual mannequins?
I don't know, but I believe maybe a little of both. Because, like, in wide shots, it's clear that it looks more crowded, but then in some shots right over someone's shoulder is a clear mannequin in, like, a sexy getup.
I need to see this
it
again.
It is fucked up.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The wicker baby carriage is maybe the greatest prop, that and the flea market clock.
The wicker baby carriage is
that is straight from a props. That is straight from a Lifetime, a Lifetime movie that was set in olden days.
That's like I was gonna say that's like from the Banshees of Inishmore. It's like it is like a
Gables.
Yes.
Like a,
my favorite
a
movie.
Baby carriage, of course.
But they all but this whole movie has like. It feels like used parts because even when the two women, the ladies who lunch, go to speak, they use an exterior of a barbecue restaurant. Like, I couldn't think of a worse place to go talk about your...
Oh, boy. I would love if they were just having ribs while talking about their open marriage.
It's like,
okay,
come
here's
on.
Here's what's really weird, though. Like, I was trying to figure out. So Mindy, she has a storyline throughout, which is that she's trying to lose weight. Now, by the end, when she delivers...
Is that a character want, June? When you're working on a character and you want to find that character...
Well, but this is what I couldn't understand. It's like she wants to lose weight to look like Becca, but she is thinner than Becca. So it was very strange. And
The single white female of it didn't make any sense because Mindy is the high status character. So it was confusing why she was wanting to be Becca, who's in her own life struggling and trying to figure out with fertility, with money, with her marriage, all of these things. So I'm not sure why Mindy was obsessed with her other than it was predicated
on
college.
Yeah, she was so normal. But
I could have used a flashback.
I would have loved to have known more about Mindy.
But here's the thing. It didn't seem like she wanted to have her life. She just wanted to fuck her husband. Like, it wasn't like when she goes, I'm your biggest fan.
She only wanted to fuck her husband, because that's what Mindy does.
That's what Becca does.
Yeah,
that's why she's sending Becca the flowers. That's why she's obsessed with Becca. They all think she's obsessed with Ron, but she's obsessed with Becca.
But beyond fucking Becca's husband, what else is there? I mean, because the only thing that we get
taking
is
her baby.
This.
Who's the protagonist?
I think
who's
it's Becca.
This movie? Who's this movie Becca? About? Is a movie about Becca or no? I don't think it is.
Tilkey is his name. It must be Ron. It's Ron's story because we introduced to Ron with a couple problems. Ron's got a bad back. Ron doesn't have enough money.
Ron has
fertility issues. Yeah. So like Ron's girlfriend, wife leaves him. Like all the issues really are Ron's problems.
I disagree. I feel like we've got Becca who's got an out of work fiance, wants to have kids, is worried about her finances, is working overtime at the hospital / doctor's offices. It seems like she has way more problems.
And sadly, it's about neither of them. Like, that's the movie's biggest problem is we realize that Mindy is the antagonist and that her attention seems to be on both of them. But the movie has no real arc.
Well,
here's the weird part, though.
Like, if you think about Ron and Becca before this proposition, I do agree with the movie on this one part. Piece, which is I think that Ron and Becca will be happier having gone through this. I don't think they would have made it at all had they not.
No, they're, well, also, I think they're doomed.
I don't know, Jason. Really? I do think there's a lot of trauma bonding. I do. I don't think the open marriage did, but I think the trauma, by the way, my favorite part of the whole movie was when Ron shook the hand of the police officer before he left.
I love that that's it. Like the police just walk out.
They walk out.
That's it. We did it. You don't have to come. You don't have to come to the station. Like, nope.
Hey, we got a murderer in here. We got a report of a murderer dead in here. Okay,
removed.
See you later.
Becca in one night murders her best friend with a flea market clock, then finds out her husband is the father of her baby. Like, by the way, what the fuck is happening?
I will also say that Mindy shoots that gun multiple times in that apartment. I mean, that loft.
We saw the exteriors.
Above.
We saw the exteriors. There's no windows. It's sound. It's
and
soundproof.
Also, like, gunshots are no thing there.
You might be right that might be the best part of Ron's performance. I'm going to say the best part of Mindy's performance was the party at the end of the movie before she, you know, reveals herself to be the killer. And she turns to her audience, a crowd of people, and goes, "Let them eat cake."
Yes.
And everyone's like, "Yay!" It would be like, it was so, she's not engaging them. No one's looking at her. She just says, "Let them eat cake." And everyone's like on board. It's not a sex party. It's nothing. What is, like, what control does she have over them?
And I felt like that party, too, because they're both, the Becca is wearing the gold dress. They're both in these gold sparkly dresses that Mindy has bought for both of them. And it's Mindy's birthday. And blah. It felt like that scene was going to build to something.
No.
And it just doesn't. Nothing ends up happening at the birthday.
I thought for sure that dress was going to lead us somewhere.
That would be significant. It was seated earlier. So here we are. We're finally at the dress scene and nothing happens.
Nothing.
I couldn't figure any of the motivations
out. There's
something
very strange about these people. Like, even Becca, who I connected the most to Becca and her story.
Yes.
I'm still not sure if Becca did have, do you think she had unprotected sex with Max? Or
yes.
She definitely did?
Well, that was Becca's plan. Becca's plan, I believe this is
the sad
Becca's
part.
Plan.
Okay, see, I sort of zoned out here. This is what I didn't pick up
so
on.
So what
she
we find
planned
out,
to get pregnant with
this
baby?
She planned the open marriage, the entire open marriage thing, so she could get pregnant. So she told
Even before
Max,
she knew
correct.
That he had. Oh, wow.
Because when you hear it, like, listen, when
now
she does
I'm
announce,
down.
When she announces her pregnancy in the sex club.
To Max.
Yes, to Max. That's when I was like, oh.
I came here to tell you it's over.
Just because Ron called it off?
No, because I'm calling it off.
The four of us might be off, but not me and you. Remember, this was your idea.
This wasn't about you and me, Max. You don't have to do this anymore. I'm pregnant.
That's what you wanted, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
So she was like, she was mad at, but this is
another
part.
So then I guess it is her movie because she's got the motivation behind it that she is, the machinations are hers.
I can't believe that.
I guess.
Okay, so she... Oh, wow. So it is pretty wild then that it is Ron's baby.
Oh,
well, Ron,
yeah.
But she didn't know that Ron had a 1% chance of not being able to conceive when she did have unprotected sex. She just wanted him to get checked out because she's been popping those fertility pills.
Becca is maybe more of a villain than Mindy?
It's really true.
What are those fertility pills?
I don't know,
because
I wanted to say if you haven't had
prenatal vitamins.
But if you haven't had sex in 3 months, why are you taking these supplements?
Right. It's
like, if you're not doing the one thing you need to do.
He's also pushing them on her. He's really pushing those prenatals on her. He's like, take the pills.
But if they're not fucking, they can't do anything.
Well, he wants to fuck, but she's kind of shrugging it off, isn't she, in the beginning?
In the very beginning,
I think she's shrugging off the vitamin eating, because she's like, I think that she's...
I thought maybe she was worried about his back.
I thought his back was out from fucking too much, because they wanted to get pregnant.
That's workman's comp.
I mean, there you go. Max in on this plan? I mean, he was, right?
Yes. And then and that's like, and that's
oh
why
God,
she's
I missed
like
a lot of this movie. Yeah, Max so, was no, in on getting one, her it, pregnant.
It's just that one yes. scene where they kind of
how did I miss this?
When Max meets Becca at the club and they have their talk, what's revealed in that scene is that Becca's plan has worked. She hatched a plan for Max to suggest that they have an open marriage with them so that she can fuck Max so that
oh my
she
God,
can get
I really
pregnant.
Missed this. Okay.
And she says to him, I'm pregnant. So that means this all needs to stop. And he says, well, congratulations. Your plan worked, blah, blah, blah. But he's kind of upset because now it appears he's fallen for her, just like everybody else in the movie is in love with Becca. Question mark?
Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not be, you know?
I would also like the readers to source, if they could, has this gym been used in other Lifetime movies?
Oh, this gym, which is kind of like, it feels like it's trying so hard. Like, I feel like this was also repurposed in a movie where a kid did drugs for the first time. It's like... Yep. Graffiti, but it's like safe graffiti, and it's they're in there working out, but they're also talking about sex.
I also thought that there was going to be something that was going on between a random gym goer and Mindy, because there was a real connection
because she shows up at the gym.
Yeah,
and she shows up at the gym, and why not have the gym people also come to Club Caligula? You know, like, but I guess probably just
she
because
only
they couldn't
wants
pay
to
more
fuck
actors.
Ron.
I guess so. And
she oh no,
I think
only
she,
wants to fuck
I think
Ron.
She
that's
wants
it.
To fuck Becca because she
I
starts
that's what
to make
she wants
too.
To fuck Becca.
She starts
that's what's
to fuck,
so weird.
She starts to start making passes at Becca, though. Slight kisses and innuendo. And that it felt again, that's your not anti-gay, but like I felt like it, that's as gay as it was able to go for them.
Well,
it's
yeah,
just
they would,
the hint of it.
They would be side by side because that scene was calling for the two of them to kiss. Not Ron and Max, but Becca and Mindy. Because like when she gets in her face like that, but then you reveal that the plan is they're just going to fuck each other's husbands literally side by side, which they have been doing all...
Yeah, but not side by side.
And not while Mindy holds a gun.
Yeah, so that's different. Oh, yeah, those are the two different factors.
Also,
side by side and the element of like, you know, the stakes of someone shooting someone.
The gunplay in this movie is wildly irresponsible and mirrors in a lot of ways the same gunplay that was done in that loft in the photographer
movie. That's right.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about. If you're heading to your friend's house to go to like a fuck night where all of you are gonna fuck each other. First of all, I'm like, I wouldn't want to sleep over. It's like, let's all go back to our back to bag. They're ready to sleep over. And I know they initially said like, do you want to sleep over? Okay, that's what I want to talk about. In what world? First of all, I don't even think I'd ever feel comfortable getting into someone else's bath ever.
Yeah.
Even if like I just don't think that. A bath to me is, and I love baths, but that's like so intimate. And the fact that Becca, upon waking up, gets into a bubble bath at her friend's house. Is
a morning bubble bath.
A morning. Now, I do know one woman in my life who takes a bath every morning.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. What?
Instead of a shower.
She's
a makeup artist that we probably have all... worked with, lovely person, and she has super early call time. Sometimes she's on set at like 4:50, but she has said that she can't wake up, she can't get her day going unless she sits in a bath and she bathes herself in there.
Wow.
And I do think a lot of women who don't want their hair to get wet do bathe quite a bit.
I understand. I guess I understand not wanting your hair to get wet. I would like the listeners to weigh in on how often are you bathing versus showering. I will say I could not tell you the last time I took a bath.
Same.
Period.
No, well,
same.
You're both missing out. I'm always trying to get Paul in the bath. He's never interested, but I love taking a bath. But I also don't know about taking a bath to bathe.
No, you got to take a shower afterwards. You're sitting in a soup of your own stink.
You're treating a bath like a hot tub, right, Junie?
Pretty much, yeah. That's like a self-care, you know, putting your stuff in.
It's
maybe
a lot more about
you're like
relaxing
shaving or something. But it's relaxing.
It's a lot more about relaxing than it is cleaning up like a shower.
Now, have I been on a Zoom call or two in the bath?
Oh, boy.
Off camera? Yeah, I have.
What?
So.
How many episodes of this podcast have we recorded with you in a bath? That we
I've definitely watched a few movies.
Yeah, but that's
I get that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this much, that going over there, that house was, in many respects, very unfurnished. They probably did just move in, but they did put, like, again, like what Jason said, they found old props, like a giant cattle horn in the middle of this living room, this fuck living room. The couches, no carpeting, no nothing. It was so empty and barren. It was like so hard to even find places to fuck in there. And then the only thing that they make the whole piece about before they have sex, before they get in the bath, and not even together, is Becca looks at a painting and she goes, "Oh, is this new?" And he's like, "You got a good eye." Oh. No, she doesn't have a good eye. She just recognized, like, a good I love the strokes here. It looks like this or that. That's like a good eye. She's like, you remembered the place and you've now seen a new thing. It's not a good eye. It's like,
well, you know what was so crazy about that, the beginning scene? Because, you know, it is pretty wild to have to start off like an orgy situation like that. But I'm like, the lighting was so bright. It's like they had every light on in that living room.
Yeah, they were. They were
also was so well what was, lit. Like, what damn was it. So,
no candles, no wine.
Nothing.
No,
it was so dark.
And it also felt like, and I couldn't figure out why they did this, because I felt like the movie wanted you to believe in the inherent sexiness of this indecent proposal, kind of ooh la la, like titillating, we're going to have an open marriage. And when they hard cut to the couples at the house for the first time, it's awkward.
It's creepy.
It's silent.
Well, it's so
it's
bright.
Silent, bright, and uncomfortable. And the movie's telling us this is bad. This is bad behavior. I feel like the movie is actually very judgmental.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very judgmental about open marriages. I feel like the movie is anti-open marriages, is anti-openness. I feel like the movie is a cautionary tale about this stuff, because what happens is someone's going to try and murder you.
I think it's
conservative. I feel like the movie is conservative.
It's a vampire. But here's the other thing.
Yeah.
The better version of this movie ultimately is two couples who are at their wit's end, or their something's not going well for them, and they both decide, why don't we have an open marriage? But we set up the other couple as being like, now we have an open marriage, and now there's nothing to fight about. But they seem as knowledgeable about it as our main characters. It's like they're not leading them in any way. They're just kind of like, it just seems like,
listen, we've all watched Real Sex. We know how this works.
Yeah.
You know, like none of the conversations make sense. Nobody seems like they really want to be doing this. Like, they all seem like almost unwilling participants. You know?
Well, there's a line that kind of encapsulated it for me was at one point when they're talking, the two women, she says, you know, oh, I would never cheat. And you're like, oh, because I love my husband. She goes, no, I would never cheat because of my prenup.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like, oh, like that really like opened it up for me. It was like, oh, so you don't, like there's it really.
So there's the way around the workaround is we're not cheating. We're having sex together so that the prenup is not triggered. Right. So
yes,
that the way they've the rules,
yes,
the rules for again, the rules for Mindy and Max are based on their actual life and marriage. But then when applied to Becca and Ron are not applicable, like they don't have a prenup. They don't have to. They can play by rules that they create that are better for them as both individuals and as a married couple through open and honest communication, something that nobody in this movie is interested in having.
No.
Except for Vulvania.
Well, Vulvania just speaks in like weird. Vulvania's just up to wordplay.
Well, here's the weird thing, though, is like, I do think that for Ron and Becca, like, they can't have a baby unless they're having sex. And when we meet them, they're not having sex. So this does sort of ignite them. And so they're able to like have a baby because of it. But ultimately, like, there's nothing. What's so weird about this movie is, like, it doesn't present that first scene, that hard cut into that bright ass living room, like, doesn't present a world in which, to us, the viewer, in which you could understand getting sucked into this. You could understand, like, being a regular person who was like, who is titillated by this idea and fantasy. And it's just so clear that this is uncomfortable and that none of us would ever want to be in that living room.
Yeah, it really, that exactly. That's how I mean it's conservative. Like, it's none of it is attractive. It's just forcing these people through the machinations of this. Yeah. And then the results are deadly. Like, the results are murderous. Like, you better...
If you go to that sex club, you will be found out and you will lose your livelihood. Like, it was also like, yes, there are penalties for everything.
If you open yourself up to this kind of thing, even if you consent to it, you will be punished. Like, any kind of divergent sexual needs, wants, or anything you participate in, you will be somehow punished for,
Do they ever have fun in this world? That was my... big takeaway. I don't think.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I think Volvani and the mannequins are the only people having fun in this world.
I mean, honestly, the most fun they seem to have, or the most, like, is when they're asleep, like, snuggling up to these other people in separate rooms.
But for a movie that's so much about, or when they fall asleep in the sex club, but that's so much about sex, like, when they do, like, when, after the first scene in which Max and Mindy tell them about open relationship, open marriage, et cetera, and Becca and Ron go home and they're so charged up from hearing about it, they end up having sex, right? Yeah. And they haven't had sex in a while. And the sex scene's, like, final moment, the cum shot of their sex scene is just her bra landing on the floor.
That bra landing straight up, like
slow-mo landing on the... That's, like, as hot as it gets is a bra hitting the... Not anybody's body, is a bra hitting the floor. Like, it's almost like, can you imagine how hot this
but
is?
But I also feel like that bra... And not that, like, I'm not knocking this at all after I've taken a horrible takedown on curly hair. It was a...
Really horrible fall. I agree with, Molly. Like, I thought her hair was beautiful.
Loved it. I loved
her better with the straight hair, but I don't think...
Hashtag give me those curls, baby!
Like, wow, Paul.
But I don't think anything... less of
personal preference.
By the way, certain people I think look better with curly hair. I'm just saying, if she was to ask me, what do you prefer? And we were having a casual conversation around the pool with red wine in the afternoon, as one does. Red wine and an afternoon outdoor hot day is what I always like to drink.
Out in the hot sun with a absolutely roasting glass of hot red wine.
I would say
could you microwave
Cabernet?
Like, sometimes, like, somebody will, like, put an ice cube in their white wine. I would love it if someone was like, I'm so sorry. Could you take this Pinot Noir and just nuke it for 15 seconds in the microwave, please?
This movie. I just want to play one more time the clip of Mindy's reveal. Because this reveal is, I think, we talked a lot about
it. Mindy was amazing.
Mindy was great.
In this.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Real villain. A real villain turn.
Wait. You're the one who put our pictures on the Caligula app?
Guilty as charged.
Why would you do that to Ron? He lost his job over it. This thing you've got for Ron has got to stop right now.
You think that all of this is about Ron?
Yes, sweetheart, you're obsessed.
You're damn right I'm obsessed. But not with Ron. I'm your secret admirer.
When she says, I'm your secret admirer.
Incredible.
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 Genuinely spooky. And
but again,
committed.
I will say this. Why? Why? What's the story? What is Mindy's
story? Well, we don't know.
Why is this happening?
We won't ever know, Jason.
I know, but yeah.
We won't ever know. I think that Mindy is sort of like a demented person, and there's something very basic about Becca. And this part of Mindy I could understand, that like sometimes I see, wine moms and sort of your basic women on Instagram or whatever, and there's sort of a fascination with their lives. And I think because Becca is so bland.
Right.
And is so normal.
But here's
sort
what
of
I'll
a fascination
say.
With her.
I understand that, but I think I'm going to say that the movie is arguing, again, I will say, a very conservative agenda, which is that anybody who wants you to open up your marriage, to have sex out of your marriage, anybody who wants that kind of wildness must be like also capable of murder. They are a bad person who are there trying to destroy your life. And the only way that you can succeed is to kill that person. And your reward will be that your husband's cum works.
Oh,
well, I mean, I do. Listen, I do think that I'm sorry. I will say this. I've never seen, I've known several people have opened up their relationships, not necessarily marriages, but relationships. I've never seen it work out well.
No, it's never going to work out well.
Now, this is the thing, though. It's like that data is also hard because it's like most relationships don't work out. So
yes.
I think it's very challenging to do. And to me, one out of four people who are open to open marriages becoming a murderer is, I actually thought that that was conservative.
But I think it is conservative in the other way. You know what I mean? Like, I think the movie is espousing to its lifetime mom audience conservative values, which is these people are dangerous.
Right.
These people who have these ideas are dangerous.
Right.
They're bad. They don't just want to fuck you. They want
stay
to kill
in your
you.
Committed.
They want your life. They want your normal
vampires,
life. They're
sexual
murderers.
Vampires.
They're bad people.
And they want you to stay in a committed relationship and having babies and having the man be the primary breadwinner. God damn it, this movie is about that.
And also, everyone is jacked. Everyone in the movie is fucking jacked. Everybody in this movie looks great. All the
amazing.
Time. They are always at like peak physical, like they must have done 50 push-ups or sit-ups right before each take. Everybody is like ready to go. Even when Mindy is pointing a gun at them and forcing them all to fuck at the end of the movie, the guys are like, they're fucking, their chests and abs are popping. They are jacked.
Seeing Ron sit on the couch like eating Doritos and eating pizza, I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. You don't have that body and put like any bit of processed anything into it.
That's why he didn't question the prop person when they brought over a bowl of Doritos. He's like, oh yes, that's how people would eat a Dorito. They would measure out, I could have 1/4 of a cup of Doritos while I watch my football game, while I drink my gluten-free
but
beer.
Actually, that is how somebody who's in that good shape would eat Doritos.
True.
They'd be like, I can have 7 Doritos a night. That's my
God, it's so sad. Like, as much as I admire that type of like physical, you know, discipline, I'm just like, what a way to live. You know?
What a way to live.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? Obviously we have a opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
Obviously, it's a Lifetime movie. Not many reviews out there. The average rating is about 3 out of 5. There's only 26 reviews, like I said. 32% are 5-star reviews. And here, we'll just jump right into it. This one was from Rose Sharber. And Rose writes, I love this. Please put it out on DVD to buy. Need to make more. 5 stars. Then this one.
I agree. I'd love a continuation.
I'm ready to go. The Real T-Bone writes on August 30th, 2022. Fun plot. Check. Fun cast. Check. We need more movies like this. 5 stars. And then I've started.
I don't disagree.
I am on Letterboxd. I love Letterboxd. It's like a social media for film watchers. And Letterboxd. This is from C. Body, and C. Body goes, I said I'd give it 5 stars if he fixes the cabinet door, and he did. So 5 stars.
And
amazing.
There
you go. Those are some 5-star reviews from Open Marriage. But I want to give you some details about this movie. This movie was written by Jason Byers. Jason Byers wrote Bad Nanny and The Tryst, a.k.a. The Husband, The Wife, and Their Lover. Those are his two latest films that both came out in 2022.
Not to be confused with the Peter Greenaway movie, The Cook, The Thief, His Wife, right. and Her Lover. Which is also truly a very erotic movie.
Well, and talking about erotic films, Sam Irvin, the director, was a producer on Gods and Monsters. Yes, that Gods and Monsters with Brendan Fraser.
Great movie.
But then directed movies like Mile High Escorts, Check Into Christmas. Well, that doesn't seem like a sexy one.
I love that you started saying that title in a sexy way and then bailed when you got to Christmas.
I know. I thought they were all going to
check into Christmas.
Engaged to a Psycho and Guilty as Charged.
Engaged to a Psycho.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was also shot under the working title of To Have and to Kill. So there you go.
With this movie was.
Yeah, before it became Open.
To Have and to Kill. Because
To Have and to Hold.
Interesting.
To Have and to Kill.
Yeah.
I mean, and the tagline for this movie, with a 69% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, was some relationships shouldn't be shared. Ooh, there it is.
Huh.
I mean, can't get any better than that.
A cautionary some relationships shouldn't be shared is, again, it's a commentary on open marriages in a negative way. Mm-hmm. It's saying you shouldn't do this. Marriage is between two people, period. If you open it up, you will get shot or conked in the head by a flea market clock. Like, the movie is decidedly anti-openness.
And when she does hit her with that flea market clock, there's a moment where she doesn't seem at all injured from a hit.
Holy shit, that was so funny. Mindy is like, wait, what?
She looks, raises the gun, and at that point I'm like, hit her again, hit her again.
Or somebody grab the gun.
Yes.
Everybody just sits there watching her kind of woozily, like, woozily hold her head looking confused. Like, did someone just conk me in the head?
We're trying to kill you, you psycho. Because what's the end game of that? They all fuck. And then what would have happened?
Yeah. What is Mindy's plan? Again, movies, in the Fatal Attractions and the Single White Females, I get what the plan is. What is Mindy's plan? What is her character want? And that is what I'm struggling
with. I totally agree. Well,
everything else makes total
sense. And the
sense.
Movie works out perfectly. Would you recommend watching this movie? I definitely would.
I don't know. I kept waiting. I kept wanting it to tip into a movie I wanted to be watching. It was fun, but I kept wanting it to be a little bit more itself. But when you said Lifetime, I understood why.
Let me tell you one thing, too, and I want to hear, June, what you think about this. But I'll say, like, I watched half of this movie at night and half during the day. When I watch it at night, it felt sexy. When I watch it during the day, it felt sad. And there is a little interesting, I was like, ooh. And then I watch it in the morning. I was like, oh, huh. It was a little, like, there was a different vibe going on in the morning watching this.
I mean, obviously I watched it in the sauna bed.
Yeah.
I did not find this movie to be sexy.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And boy, did I want it to be. I wanted it to be like a Red Shoe Diaries entry with, like, Duchovny.
I mean... So, June, not a recommendation, huh?
No, not a recommendation.
Okay. There we go. Yeah.
Not for me.
Only me. Jason, June, before we go, is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to tell the good people out there to watch, do, listen to?
I'll throw out Star Trek Prodigy.
Jason's
everybody.
Great on that.
Just finished our season. It's a terrific show. Please watch. Please watch.
I am watching. The only thing I'll say I'm watching that I'm really enjoying is Paul T. Goldman, Jason Molnar's show on Peacock.
Oh, yes. And he is a guest on our last look. So you'll hear from Jason about that. If you've not watched it, it's really great. The short pitch is it's a true crime story, a parody of a true crime story, a documentary about a documentary, and kind of a launch of a
superhero.
I would
say watch
it. So much.
Just watch it. And it's so interesting. And the discovery of having not known anything about it, I have been so right,
well,
enjoying
I mean,
it.
Yeah.
I will also shout out, and I have no involvement in it, but I'm loving the show High School, the Tegan and Sarah story that Clea DuVall has been making at Freevee. It is fantastic and deserves a much bigger audience than it's getting. So please get out there and watch
and
High
I'll
School.
Also just shout out that Rob Hubel and I hosted this thing called Celebrity Yard Sale. We did it over two nights here in Los Angeles, like a live show where celebrities came and sold their shit. And we had great people on the show. You can check that out on my YouTube page. People like Nicole Byer, Carl Tart, Kumail Nanjiani, Ben Lee did a musical performance. Atsuko Akatsuka came on. So many people I'm forgetting that we all the people that we had. So definitely check that out. We're on my YouTube page. There you go. You can watch the whole thing. And a big thank you to our amazing team, our producers, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, our engineer, Alex Gonzalez, and our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, and our publisher, July Diaz. We will be back with more How Did This Get Made next week for Last Looks. Bye for now.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, it's Jason Mantzoukas wishing Scott and everybody else of all stars and stripes a happy 15th anniversary, Comedy Bang Bang. You goddamn did it. Eat shit. Hang on, man. Comedy Bang Bang.